fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail Silver!
Tonto and Dan Reed, the teenage nephew of the Lone Ranger, were in the town of Broken Bow to buy supplies. Emerging from one of the stores, they found that a stagecoach had stopped at the nearby station. As the Indian and the boy joined the crowd gathered around it, a passenger clambered down from a seat beside the driver. He was a tall man who wore a cropped mustache and a tweed shooting jacket. His descent was followed by an avalanche of duffel bags and trunks, all stenciled Major Percy Ravenshaw, B.C., 10th Royal Hussars. Dan nudged his friend.
Tonto, there's a British Army officer. That V.C. means he's won the Victoria Cross for bravery.
Listen to the crowd.
Resentment suddenly clouded the curiosity in the faces of many of the onlookers, for it was one of those periods when popular feeling against England ran high. A big man who had a badge pinned on his vest bowed mockingly to the newcomer.
Welcome to Broken Bow, Lord
Percy. Oh, I say. I'm really a commoner, you know.
You're an Englishman?
Quite so. You're the high sheriff, I dare say.
High or low, I'm Sheriff Ben Williams. And you better not put on airs while you're around here. Isn't that what you say, Beef?
I sure do. We don't cotton to dressed-up foreigners.
You gentlemen seem to be a bit prejudiced, but I'll not be here long. Driver, have you unloaded all my gear?
Oh, but this cannon you had up here, would you? I'll hand it down. Blazes, but it's heavy. Grab it!
I have it. Thank you.
Underreacher. I never saw even a single barrel with a caliber that big. Well, it appears like you could drop dimes down the muzzles.
The bore is 5/8 of an inch. Fires 100 grains of powder.
It must kick like an army mule.
Who'd want a shooting iron like that?
It's an elephant gun. I used it in Africa and India.
You hear that, fellas? He's out here hunting elephants.
Come, I'm not a complete idiot, you know. I hope to try the rifle on your bison.
Bison?
That's an uppity word for buffalo.
It's the proper name for the animal, Sheriff. The true buffalo, like the true Indian, is a native of Asia.
Yeah, right here is a redskin with this youngster. If he isn't an Indian, what is he?
An American.
And what am I? Come on, you smart-aleck Englishman, tell me.
In my opinion, Mr. Beef,
You're a bully.
What? Knock his block off, Pete.
I'll fix him.
Watch out, Major.
The dude's down.
Give him the boots, Pete.
Major Ravenshaw, who had an Englishman's respect for the law, had not expected to be attacked in the presence of the sheriff. Rolling away from Beef's boots, he regained his feet.
Sheriff, that fellow assaulted me.
Oh, did he, Percy? I was looking at your rifle. I didn't notice.
Then don't notice this.
Why, you what?
Shooting a succession of hard rights and lefts to Beef's head, the major quickly demonstrated that he was a trained boxer. Beef reeled against a hitch rack and clung to it for support. He was groaning.
Quick. Don't hit me, kid.
I wouldn't think of it, old chap. Now, let's shake hands.
As the Englishman stepped forward, Beef snaked a gun from his holster.
Shake hands with this Colt.
Tonto, who had been on the alert for just such a move, grabbed the bully's wrist.
Let go, gunfellow.
Let go, Redskin. Help me, boys.
All right, break it up, you two. The rest of you fellas stay back.
But look, Sheriff, I...
Beef, I'm taking your gun till you cool off. There, that's better.
I'll meet you again, you English dude. You too, Redskin.
Forget it, Beef. I don't want trouble at election time. All you town boys, get along to the cafe. I'll stand you a treat.
That's a promise now. Come on, Beef.
Here, Englishman, take your rifle and get out of town while the getting's good.
Oh, I say.
You heard me, Vamoose, while you're still whole. I have other things to do than protect you.
Oh, better take Sheriff's advice.
My word, is there no law in Broken Bow?
Well, it's near time for Sheriff to run for office again. Other fellers vote. You not count.
I owe you a great deal. If money...
No, me not want money.
After introducing themselves and seeing the Major and his luggage safely to a hotel, Dan and Tonto rejoined the Lone Ranger. The masked man then engaged in investigating a report that the Arapaho Indians were being robbed of their cattle at a camp near the reservation. After Dan had told him about the fight, he remarked,
I've read of Major Ravenshaw. He's not only a war hero, but a noted big game hunter. His sister's the most famous horsewoman in the world.
Her raise horses?
Yes, Tonto. She specializes in breeding fine race stock. One of her entries recently won the English Derby.
Oh, that reminds me that Mary Blue Sky has challenged me to race Victor against her pony Whirlwind. Do you mind if I accept, sir?
Not at all, Dan.
Mary's a fine friend, even if she is a girl 4 years older than I.
Oh, when and where will the race take place?
Well, Mary wants to run it tomorrow over a cross-country course.
Then Tonto and I'll miss seeing it. We plan to check the Arapaho herds and visit the girl's father, Chief Blue Sky.
Him old friend. Good chief.
Do you think Victor can outrun and outjump Whirlwind, sir?
A lot depends on the ground, Dan. In a steeplechase race, a good small horse often beats a good big horse because of difficult footing.
Me see girl's pony, and him plenty fast. Sure-footed like cat.
At that moment, two hard-eyed men slipped into the back room of Beef Roberts Cafe. They found the proprietor nursing his swollen face. He growled,
I want you fellas to hire out to that Britisher.
Hire out you?
You heard me, Blackie. He wants two guides, they say. So he'll hire you and Monk.
What's the idea, boss?
Nobody can do what that sidewinder did to me and live.
It sounds like you want us to plug him.
Well, I can't plug him myself, Monk. I'd have to have an alibi or the sheriff would arrest me, much as he hates Englishmen.
What about Blackie and me? If we go out on a hunting trip with him and he doesn't come back, we'll be suspected. The sheriff will think...
He's not the only one we have to think about. Government men might go after us.
How's that, Blackie?
Old Queen Vic doesn't cotton to having her subjects killed. She raised Cain with Uncle Sam.
Just the same, I want you to get those jobs.
Oh, now look, Beef.
For the time being, all you have to do is keep me posted on that dude's moves and plans. Maybe I can work out a way of getting even with him. It'll keep us in the clear.
All right. We'll look him up. Come on, Monk.
On the following day, Major Ravenshaw, who had hired Monk and Blackie as guides when no other applicants for the jobs appeared, followed the spying outlaws along a buffalo trail. The Major's shooting jacket hung from his saddle horn. With a show of cordiality, Monk was saying,
We're now on Angel Land, Major.
Upon my soul, I never saw a more worthless land.
Of course, it's again the law for a white man to hunt here, but who cares about that?
I do, my good man. I want no part in the violation of the few rights that remain to the red men.
Look what's coming.
A white boy is racing the young Indian squaw.
My word, that's Master Daniel Reed. Let's rein in.
Ho, 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 ho.
They're heading this way.
Look how they're jumping their horses over ditches, logs, and boulders.
Injun girl's got the best pony I ever saw.
Jove, what form. What grace.
Yeah. She's a fetching squaw, all right.
Mr. Monk, I referred to the young lady's pony, not to her.
Hi, Major!
Hello, Master Daniel.
Barry, let's stop. All right. Whoa, hold it.
You should have finished your race.
Our horses were running neck and neck. We can start again.
Major, meet my friend, Miss Mary Bluesky. I've told her about you. Mary is the Arapaho chief's daughter.
The Arapaho princess? Your Highness, I must apologize.
Please don't, Major. There are no princesses among my democratic people.
But if your father is a chief...
Our chiefs are leaders, not royal rulers.
No, but you have a royal pony, Miss Mary.
All men notice Whirlwind.
He has the size, endurance, speed, and jumping ability that would make him a winner in the Irish steeplechase. If I could buy him...
What would you do with Whirlwind?
I want him for a lady. She's been looking far and wide for just such a horse.
I suppose she is one of the nobility.
She's the wife of a peer. But she'd rather be known as the mistress of the hounds at the Medbury Hunt and the owner of Derby and steeplechase winners. Fancy that.
And you would give the pony to her?
Oh, rather. She's my sister, you see.
Oh.
When I left, she told me she expected me to bring back an American horse and an American wife.
What would you give for that brown pony, Major?
£500.
Pounds of what?
In American money, that's equal to about $2,500.
Oh.
Miss Mary, would you consider...
Whirlwind belongs to my father.
Then please convey my offer to the chief.
That would be useless, Major Ravenshaw. My people count their wealth in horses, not money.
Then it seems that I'll have to steal him.
No one could do that without killing my father. Of course you are joking.
Was King Richard joking when he cried, "My kingdom for a horse"?
Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had halted their horses and were inspecting a small herd of cattle the Indian agency had delivered to the Arapaho Reservation. Tonto was saying,
"All steers got two-star brand, same as old herd."
The two-star outfit has a contract to supply all the cattle the government allots to the Arapahoes.
In town, me here, Beef Roberts own that brand. Him run cafe a sideline.
Then Roberts supplied the herd that was stolen last week.
Isn't that right? We see that herd day we reached reservation.
Yes, and that night it was stolen before Chief Blue Sky could explain his trouble to us.
Maybe it'd be different if rustlers come again.
Oh, Tonto, look at that steer.
Ah, let me see him. Him look diseased.
I noticed an animal just like that in the old herd.
How him get back here?
That's the same steer. There can be but one answer. Beef Roberts is stealing back from the Indians the same cattle he sells to the Indian agency.
Ah. And what we do?
First, we'll talk to the chief. Montilla!
A short time later, Major Ravenshaw bid farewell to Dan and Mary and rode away with his guides, forgetting to pick up his shooting jacket, which had fallen from his saddle into a clump of bushes. Monk and Blackie helped him pitch a tent outside the reservation. Then, on a pretext of needing more supplies, they rode to Broken Bow. There, they reported the day's happenings to Beef Roberts. Their boss snarled,
"Now we have the dude Ferner where we want him."
"How's that, Beef?"
"Didn't he talk about stealing that pony in front of four witnesses?"
"Sure, but I still don't savvy."
"Here's the idea. You fellas go back to camp and sneak out his elephant gun after he's asleep. Use it to plug Chief Blue Sky. Then rustle a pony. Leave the critter and the gun at the Englishman's camp and come back here."
"Oh, I get it. A law or a mob will do the rest."
"Right, huh? Blackie. I've been wanting to get rid of Blue Sky anyhow. He's one Indian who might be smart enough to figure out our rustling game."
"This'll be like killing two birds with one stone."
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Now to continue. Night had fallen when the Lone Ranger and Tonto reached Chief Blue Sky's sod house. They found Dan there with the chief and his mission-educated daughter. The masked man told Blue Sky that he suspected Beef Roberts of engineering the thefts of the reservation cattle.
Call out some of your best men to guard the herd and try to catch the crook. We'll be back later.
Me savvy.
Are you ready, Dan?
Oh, but getting the Major's coat back to him, sir.
His coat?
Yes, Mary and I found it on the ground after he left us today.
Oh, let me see it. The right shoulder is certainly well padded.
I noticed that. What is the padding for?
Anyone who fires a heavily charged elephant gun needs plenty of shoulder protection. Dan, do you know where the Major is camped?
No, but I think I can find the place, sir. I'd like to take his shooting jacket to him.
Me go now. Get men to watch cattle. Me ride Whirlwind.
We're also leaving, Chief. Otto, Dan, come on.
Good night, Mary. See you tomorrow.
Good night, Dan.
Oh, Chief Hip.
Look after him. I'll go after the gunman.
Look, there he goes. He's riding Whirlwind bareback.
I'll try to stop him. Steady, Silver, easy. One, Silver!
Tonto, is my
no.
father...
No, him not dead. Oh. But him hit plenty hard.
Tonto carried the wounded chief to a bunk and cleansed the wound. An Indian neighbor appeared at the door, and Mary sent him for the sheriff. Then Dan exclaimed,
Tonto, here's the bullet.
Where you find it?
On the floor. After hitting the chief, it passed through a heavy door jam and ricocheted.
That bullet too big to be .45.
There's only one rifle around here that could have fired it. And it belongs to...
To whom, Dan?
Major Ravenshaw.
Meanwhile, Monk had rejoined Blackie and changed to his own horse.
Come on, get him on there, boy.
They were headed directly
on,
for Major Ravenshaw's camp with the stolen pony when Monk called out,
Blackie, some fellas following us.
What'll we do?
Stop. I'll give him the other barrel.
Ho, ho, ho there, boy.
I had the sights lined on his head. Here it comes, hombre. That gun sure kicks.
Yeah, quit whining. You knocked him right out of the saddle. Come on, let's get on to camp.
Yeah, come on, get up there.
Later that night, the wounded chief was still unconscious, and his sod house was filled with men, all armed and grim. One was Sheriff Williams. His posse men included Beef Roberts, Monk, and Blackie. The latter two had reached Broken Bow just in time to be deputized. The sheriff was speaking to Dan.
Youngster, you helped me a lot by finding this bullet. Sure as sin, it came from the Englishman's big rifle.
Sheriff, I heard the Britisher say something about stealing the pony.
So did I. So did the squaw and the youngster.
Is that right, boy?
Yes, but he didn't mean it.
Of course he didn't. He spoke in jest.
So it was an English joke, eh? Maybe he was joking when he shot your dad. All right, a few of your men come with me. We'll go after that Ravenshaw boy.
Sure.
My friend, take killer's trail.
You told me that before, Injun, but he isn't back yet. Maybe he'll never come back.
Monk and I'll show you where Ravenshaw was camping when we left town.
All right, then lead the way. Come on,
right
boy.
There, let's go.
Hey, we can't let him find that fella I shot.
We'll go the long way round.
All right. We're ready, Sheriff.
The sheriff and the men accompanying him had not been gone long when the trumpeting call of a stallion resounded outside the house.
Tonto, that's Silver. He must be alone.
Me take look.
Just outside the door. His saddle's empty.
Steady, Silver. Steady, fella.
What have you found, Tonto?
Blood on saddle.
Oh, Dan, our friend has been shot.
What's that? Now, better you stay here. Silver, lead me to friend. Me follow and scout.
Hurry, Tonto.
Easy, scout. Easy, fella. Come, Silver. We follow back trail. Come, Silver. Get up, scout.
The big white horse's trail soon took Tonto to the Lone Ranger, who lay senseless on the plain, his skull grazed by the big high-velocity bullet Monk had fired. Tonto worked desperately over him, but it was many minutes before he recovered consciousness and the strength to move unaided. Then the Indian told him the latest developments. The masked man reflected.
The killer was joined by another man as I chased him.
What them look like?
I didn't get close enough to make sure. How tall is Ravenshaw? Oh,
him more'n 6 feet.
Those men wouldn't stand that high. We'll go back to Blue Sky's house, get mounted easy.
Easy, fella. Easy, fella.
Come on, Silver!
After Tonto's departure from the sod house, Dan, Mary, and the posse men remaining there waited tensely for what seemed to them an infinitely long time. Then from the moonlit plain came the drum of hoofs.
That isn't Tonto.
No. A lot of riders are coming.
It's the sheriff and his men.
They have captured the major.
All right, into the house, Buffalo Percy.
We have the sneaking killer, boys.
He had a pony whirlwind on his picket line.
Here's his big gun, still smelling of burnt powder. I found it in his tent.
Miss Mary, do you believe I shot your father?
No, Major. There is some mistake.
Shut up, squaw.
Roberts, I'll give you another thrashing for that.
Why, you...
Oh, you struck a helpless man.
All right, keep your hands off my prisoner, Beef. I'm taking him to jail.
No, Sheriff. We're going to hang him here.
Boys, I draw the line at lynching.
You want to be reelected, don't you?
Not if I have to let you take the law into your own hands.
All right, grab Blackie.
And I'm taking your gun, Sheriff. Now, be nice.
All right, Monk. Hold a gun, that squaw. The boy, too. He helped that Englishman once.
Yeah. Please, man, wait until Tonto comes back from looking for our friend. If he's alive, he may know the real killer.
Count your friend as another corpse on the horse-stealing Britishers list.
I got a rope. Now, where's the beam?
There's none in this place.
Not a tree within miles.
Perhaps it's a bit irregular, but may I suggest that you shoot me?
What?
I much prefer that form of execution.
Well, you're sure a cool one, fella. Reckon we can do this the way his nib wants it? We'll stand him against the wall outside.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had dismounted at a distance and crept to the rear of the sod house. They were at an open ground-level window as the Englishman was taken from the house. Monk and Blackie had remained inside the house, with guns drawn to guard the sheriff, Mary, and Dan Reed. These three were near the bed of the unconscious chief. The outlaws, seated with their backs to the window, didn't hear the Lone Ranger and Tonto enter. They didn't sense danger until guns were pressed against their backs.
Drop your guns and be quiet.
Startled, the outlaws obeyed. Then Monk gasped.
The masked man. I thought I...
You thought you'd kill me.
They are going to shoot the Englishman.
They've taken him outside to shoot him.
Sheriff. You cover them while I look at this man's shoulders.
Hey, my shirt!
I've seen enough. Get going, both of you.
Now, wait a minute.
Where are you taking us?
Out to face the firing squad.
Meantime, under Beef's direction, the posse men quickly dragged the major to a place against the wall and stripped him to the waist.
Now, boys, line up, all of you. Get ready and fire when I count three. One.
Hey, Beef, look, coming from the sod house.
The masked man.
He's holding guns on Monk and Blackie.
Hold your fire, boys. If they shoot that Englishman, they'll kill Blackie and me.
Men, the major is innocent.
Now, wait a minute, who are you? What's the idea of that mask?
I'm here to show why Major Ravenshaw must be innocent of shooting Chief Blue Sky.
The bullet from the elephant gun proves the major's guilty.
And the kick of that same rifle proves he's not.
What are you getting at, fella?
No man could fire such a gun without getting bruised, unless he wore a shoulder pad.
Yeah, what of it?
There are witnesses to the fact that the major lost his padded shooting jacket long before the attempted murder. But look at him. There's no mark on his shoulder.
That doesn't clear him.
Now look at Monk.
Keep your guns ready, boys. I'll take a close look.
What do you see, Joe?
My Monk has a black and blue mark on his shoulder the size of a gun butt.
Monk knew from the faces of the men that the bruised shoulder marked him as the man who had tried to murder the Indian chief. His only hope of escaping punishment lay in a desperate break for freedom. He snatched a gun from one of the men.
Give me that gun.
Look out.
I won't be taken. I'll kill anyone who tries to hold me. Out of my way.
Not so fast.
Why, you...
A sharp lightning-like blow from the masked man struck Monk's wrist. His fingers went numb and he dropped the pistol.
Monk, that break is a confession of your guilt.
I thunder, Monk, it sure is. We'll stand you in the Englishman's place.
Oh, no, don't.
Untie the Englishman, somebody.
There you are.
Now, mister, let's have Monk.
Take him, but watch Blackie.
Pretending to join in the mob spirit of the posse men, the masked man stepped aside, his eyes on Beef. Joe shoved Monk against the wall. The killer was screaming,
Beef! Beef, save me or I'll tell!
The boss of the two-star rustling gang realized that Beef. He faced exposure by the terrified Monk. He swung his revolver into line with his quailing henchman. At that instant, the Lone Ranger sprang upon him.
No, you don't, Beef!
Let go of my hand!
Struggling to wrest the gun from Robert's hand, the masked man forced it down a little. Beef pulled the trigger.
No! Oh, my leg! Paul can't block me.
He almost hit me.
I'll take that gun.
Help me, fellas, help me.
The swift rush of events had left the posse men momentarily dazed. Before they could make up their minds what to do, the Lone Ranger drove a sledgehammer right hook into Robert's chin.
Take it.
Beef went down like a log. The masked man stepped back to the wall.
Monk, your boss meant to silence you with that bullet. What did you threaten to tell?
Nothing. Oh, my leg.
That's just a sample of what you're going to get when I tell the other boys to shoot.
Oh, no. Don't let them kill me.
Groveling on the ground, Monk hugged the Lone Ranger's boots. His face was streaked with a sweat of utter terror and the tears of pain and self-pity.
I promise nothing, Monk. But if you have anything on Beef Roberts, this is the time to square accounts.
That's right.
You'd be a fool to die protecting a double cross.
No. Let me have a court trial. I'll go on the stand. I'll spill everything.
You'd better talk now.
All right. It was Beef Roberts who had Blackie and me shoot the chief and friend, the Englishman. We've been helping him steal back the cattle he sold to the Indian agency. He was afraid of Blue Sky and he hated the major.
Sheriff, you hear Monk's confession?
Yes, I heard it.
Then you know whom to arrest.
Yes, but this posse wants blood.
Then the time has come for us to let the sheriff take charge. Remember that you almost took the life of an innocent man. Even Beef, Monk, and Blackie must be considered innocent until proven guilty after a fair trial. Let the law take its course with him. Thanks, men. Now, Sheriff, it's up to you.
We're sure indebted to you, mister. I wish you'd stick around for the trial.
Sorry, Sheriff, but we must go. Dan, Toto, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Buddy. One moment, sir. May I shake your hand?
With pleasure, Major.
I do wish you could stay here. I'd like to know you better.
We may meet again, Major. Until that day, adios.
Adios, sir.
Miss Mary, I wish there was something I might do for your father. Perhaps if I paid for a skilled surgeon from one of the larger cities...
Tonto has taken care of my father, Major. He will get well. He has passed the danger point.
Good.
Boys, what's the matter with the Major? He's all right!
Say.
The boys are with you now, Major. Doggone it, you were all right. And we got to see to it that you think the same us. I'm making it my business to show you the good side of the best doggone country in the world.
Splendid, Sheriff. But that master...
You'll hear a lot of stories about him before you sail for home, Major. You see, he's the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.